Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We turn to Daf Mem, the top Tosfos, the Dibur Masel Hovei Melach V'chulei Tzorech Levorech. The Gemara at this point was discussing the issue of an interruption, a hefsik, between one's completing the bracha, in this case of hamotzi, and the actual eating of the bread. Are there things that can actually be uttered and not constitute an interruption, and hence no need to make another bracha before eating? So the Gemara pointed out, and there were a few different deos on this topic, that Hovei Melach, we saw, according to the first opinion, according to Rav, would be an interruption. Tzorech Levorech, the Gemara said that is an interruption. If one, after making the bracha of Hamotzi Lech Miroz, he said, would you please pass the salt? The Havi Hesech Hadas, that constitutes a break in one's thought, in one's concentration, which is necessary to maintain between the completion of the bracha and the eating of the food. V'ochi amrinu b'perek shlishi de Menachos. Similarly, it says in the third parak of Menachos, soch bein tfilin l'tfilin tzorach levarach. If a person discusses or he interrupts, he talks between the tfilin shel yad and the tfilin shel roish, that necessitates the reutterance of the bracha for the tefillin. V'chein halacha imsoch bein brichas hamotzi lachila. If one spoke between the hamotzi and the actual eating, or ubein brichas kiddush l'shtia, or between the kiddush that we recite over a cup of wine and the actual drinking, if there's any type of extraneous talk, so he has to make tzorch lachzer ulevarach. He has to make the bracha again. Ilav milsa deshaicha l'suda, unless the interruption was germane to the meal, to the food, kamo tul bruch, like the first example of the Gemara, and under Rav's name, if after making the amotzi you say to someone next to you, here, take a piece of bread over which the bracha was made, which was tul bruch, that is okay. That's directly related to the eating. For example, if, let us say, a person made the bracha for slaughtering, and there was then the need to slaughter more animals, in general, the one bracha a person makes before slaughtering, there is to be no interruption between the bracha and all the animals that he is going to slaughter after having made that bracha. If there is an interruption, so we say he has to go back and make the broch again for any subsequent animals after that interruption. Unless, ilav milsa de shchita, unless it's something that's shchita related, kamo, an example of that would be, ha'oid yoser behemos v'tarnegoilim lishchot, are there more animals or chickens to slaughter? Namely, after he made a bracha, slaughtered one or two animals, and then asked, are there any more to slaughter? That would not be an interruption. And therefore, if he's presented with more animals, he can go ahead and slaughter without making a new bracha. Oy, shiyoma, or another example of something in the realm of shechita that would not be an interruption. If the shoychet, if the slaughterer says, echoz heitech shelo yishmat loch shelo tivsala shechita. He, let us say, is slaughtering an animal that requires someone assisting him in holding the animal in place. And the shoychet, the slaughterer, would say, hold the animal so the animal doesn't slip and ruin the shechita. That would not constitute an interruption. Ein zu hafsaka, that is not an interruption. Now, what Tosfos deals with is the issue of the necessity of having salt on the table when making the hamotzi, when making the bracha over bread. The onu ein onu regilim lahovi al hashulchan lo melech v'lo liftan. We are not accustomed to insisting or having salt or a dip on the table. Liftan is a dip or something you eat that accompanies bread. Mishum depas shelanu choshuv. Our bread is significant, it's high quality. Varehu ki hod yamar besamoch, it is like that which the Gemara itself acknowledged in the incident involving the visit to the Bay Reish Galusa, where Rava Bar Shmuel visited the Reish Galusa, and even though Rava Bar Shmuel said that you must have salt on the table, he himself had made the bracha and immediately ate the bread without insisting on the salt being brought, arguing less dain sorach b'shash. He said this does not require any delay. In other words, there is no need for waiting for the salt to be brought, but rather you can eat the bread immediately without the addition of the salt. And therefore, Tosfos reports that because of our high quality bread, there is no need for the salt, and it then, and that also implies that if one under such circumstances would ask for the salt after having made the bracha before eating the bread, that in fact would be an interruption. Mihu Rabbi Menachem hoya medakdek meuid lahavi melech al shulchan. He, Rabbi Menachem, on the other hand, was very diligent in seeing to it that salt was on the table, even though we're talking about a high quality bread situation. And why was he so insistent on the salt being there? For another reason, Kedisa b'medrash, as the Medrash says. And here you have four lines, a quote from the Medrash. Kishisrael yishim ala shulchan amtinen zeh zeh ad shiitlu yudehem vehein b'loy mitzvahs. In a when you have several people that are joining together for a meal, and it takes time for each one to wash his hands, and until the one leading the meal is ready to say the Brichas HaMoitzi, so you have a situation where everyone is waiting there at the meal. They're not doing anything because you really can't do anything between the Netilas Yadayim and the HaMoitzi. You're supposed to have your mind fixed on the upcoming eating of the bread. So they're sitting there without mitzvahs. So HaSotan Mekatri Galehem, the Sotan comes along and says, here, look at the Jews, they're not performing mitzvahs. Ubris melach megin aleihem, and the covenant represented by the salt is there to protect them. The issue of the salt and a covenant is something discussed in other masichtas in the Shas, how salt represents the covenant between the Almighty and the Jewish people, and hence it figures to be so significant also in the realm of sacrificial offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. So because of that, Rabbi Menachem did insist on the salt being present, and it would stand to reason that if there was no salt and someone had made the brocha of Hamotzi, there's room for arguing, is the salt so important at that point? In other words, here it's already in anticipation of their actual eating of the bread, so it's not necessarily the same scenario that the Medrash spoke about, that they were waiting around until they washed their hands. So that we'll leave as an open point, but as far as the two deos expressed in the Tosfos regarding the need for salt in the first place to be on the table, so you see two opinions expressed. But as far as the issue of would the request for salt after making the Brichas HaMotzi be represented by these two points, these two opinions in the Tosfos, that is not absolutely clear. But as far as the one opinion that the first opinion that Tosfos mentions about our practice today, meaning in the time of Tosfos where the bread was of high quality and the salt was really unnecessary, so an interruption according to that opinion of a request for salt would seem to constitute a hefsek and would generate the need for another bracha. Of course, everything we say in the context of Gemara markings, Tosfos Shir, is not designed to be halacha lemaisa. We've mentioned this many times, and we say it from time to time, especially for the new listeners, so as not to come to conclusions halacha lemaisa. That is requires further investigation. The next Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda, he, Disnan, Yovesh, Hamayon, and regarding the case of one bringing Bikurim and reading the Parsha of Bikurim, in which you say, in their Ha'adoma Asher Nasatali, Rabbi Yehuda said that even though someone's irrigation or water source dried up, or the trees of his field were cut down, nevertheless he still holds the property itself, the parcel of land, and therefore that's enough reason for justifying the recitation of that parsha, including the phrase Ha'adoma Asher Nasatali. V'nira d'halocha k'Rabbi Yehuda, it appears that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the sosam lon Tano Kavosei, because you have a section of the Mishnah, the unnamed Mishnah, which indicates an authoritative Mishnah. The Mishnah states its point according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which says, Ve'im, this is from the Mishnah, Ve'im birech al perusilin bori priho adama yotza, if you made a bori priho adama brocha over fruit from trees, you are yotze. That indicates that even though the fruit comes from the trees, the fruit is still associated with the ground, because the ground is said to be the ikur. Even if the tree, for example, were cut down, as we saw in the case of Bikurim, he still refers to him as himself as holding, these are fruits from the ground, even though the fruits came from the tree, but the tree was cut down, he can still associate the fruits with the ground that he received. Yove Shamayon Yesh Meforshim Lakach Mevi V'Eino Kore. This Tosfos is explaining the Tanakama, who says that if the irrigation source dries up, the owner who brings Bikurim brings it without reading the Parsha. Mipnei, because if he were to read, Mipnei She'eino Nira Kimeshabeach LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Imagine you have a person that's got a piece of land, but all of the water source dried up, and he comes and says, these are the fruits from the land that you gave me. He sounds like he's really complaining. It's not mashma that he's blessing the Almighty, but elo kekoivel, kova means to complain, al ma shenosan lo adoma she'eno ru'uyo leperos. Here, this is from the land that you gave me that's dry and not fit for fruit production. So better don't say anything than say something that could be misconstrued. That is the opinion of the Tanakama. The next Tosfos, Isei Legavza V'Hoder Osi. We had to explain at this point in the Gemara if Rabbi Yehuda holds that the tree, so to speak, from which Odom HaRishon ate was the Chita. So the Chita, it becomes something called a tree. And it's for that reason that the Mishnah had to say that if you made a Bori Priho Eitz on something that should get an Adoma, you're not Yotze. And that would be a Chiddush. You made a Bori Priho Adoma on... You made a Bori Priho Eitz. Let's correct ourselves. Let's be careful here. You made a Bori Priho Eitz on something like wheat. So the Chiddush is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that wheat is called an Eitz, it's called an Elon, you're not Yotze. Well, why not? So for this, the Gemara had to give an explanation and said that we make Bori Priho Eitz when the fruit, after removed from the branch, that branch will produce more fruit. In other words, the spot, the point from which the fruit grew, namely the branch, will produce more fruit in the next season. Which is, that is the standard for which we say Bori Priho Eitz. And if that doesn't happen, then even though something might be called an eitz, as is the case with the wheat, it's still not going to warrant that bracha of priho eitz. The Tosfos Isei Legavza V'Hoder Osi. If if you have a situation where the branch is there and more fruit grows on it the next season, only then will you make a bori priho eitz. Now here we have a Tosfos that, and unfortunately for us, our Gemara markings, Gemara Tosfos program, where we hesitate to offer translations unless they're very clear to us. In this case, we're dealing with Germanic words, which one will have to research further to discover their actual meaning. It is beyond the achrayus that we are taking upon ourselves. So bear with it. We'll try to extract at least some principles, but more than that, we cannot provide. Our apologies. So the Tosfos says, "Mehocha nira de tutim u frizaish u bontons." Sounds like bontons. V'chayotze bohen sorach levorach alem bore prio eitz. These particular vegetations would demand a bore prio eitz bracha. Sherei derech ha'eitz l'skayim yomim rabim. The nature of these plants, of the tutim, free zayish and bontons, the branch lasts a long time. The chishokil ha'pri b'shanazu hoder osi pri ba'oiso eitz atzmoi. When you remove the fruit from it this year, the fruit grows from that very tree the next year, that very plant the next year. Miho Rav, Rebbe Menachem, Hevi Raya. I personally don't know if this is the same Rebbe Menachem from the Tosfos we saw regarding the salt, but he's quoted here. It's not, this isn't related to the salt, but it's interesting that he's not from the more common of the Bali Tosfos, but he appears twice on the same daf. So Rabbi Menachem, Hevi Raya, Mirusha Maseches Kilayim, he brings a proof from the Yerushalmi on Maseches Kilayim, de Mevorchen al Kol Mine de Otod, Borei Pri Ha'Adoma. And Otod is, from the context and from other places, it appears to be a type of scrubby bush, a very low, a low growing, a short type of plant that grows. It lasts from year to year, but the Yerushalmi in Kilayim says that the fruit from that type of low bush, you make borei pri ha'adoma. That is the bracha, even though it has the characteristics of what our Gemara described would be a borei pri ha'eitz. Nevertheless, the Yerushalmi in Kilayim suggests an adoma, the komar hosam. The Yerushalmi says in Kilayim, ha'hegin v'atadin min ilon heim v'enom Kilayim bekerem. On the one hand, we see that these things, the ota, the atadin, are considered trees, and as a result of that, if you had an atad growing in a vineyard, it would not constitute kilayim, because trees amongst themselves do not create a kilayim problem. It's only when you put zroim, like wheat or barley, together in a vineyard, then you run into a kilayim problem. But by virtue of the fact that the Yerushalmi there says that otodin are a min ilon, therefore there is no kilayim in the Kerem of Porach, and the Yerushalmi asks, V'hatanya elu hein mine deshoyim, these are different types of grasses, hakundis va'atad, and there you have something that would sound like it's a borei pri ha'adoma kind of thing, and you see that the atad is not classified as an eitz. It's classified as something that's deshe. Deshe, we saw, in fact, in a Mishnah, the machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding brachon yirokos, and Rabbi Yehuda said borei minei deshoyim, indicating that's something that's adoma related. So that on the one hand, the atad, which we've dashed underlined above, a couple lines up, you see that atadin, we dashed underline that was classified as a min ilon. And then in this other source, the atad is considered a subcategory of deshoyim, which is adoma. Umeshani, and the Yerushalmi answers, tamon lebracha. The brisa that says that it's considered it's considered deshoyim, that's regarding a bracha. And that's key for us, and that's why you see this dot underlined. V'hocha, regarding the issue of v'hocha l'kilayim. As far as kilayim, then we'll consider the otod a tree. Almos, you see quite clearly from the Yerushalmi, linyan bracha mine deshoyim heim, that the otods, these bush-type things, these low bush growths with their fruits, are called deshoyim, which would make it into a borei pri ha'adoma. Umi l'divrei hakol, free zayish, tzorach l'vorach alein borei pri ha'eitz. The free zayish was the second example that Tosis mentioned at the beginning. That is definitely a borei pri ha'eitz. The eino godel ala todin. It doesn't grow from these lowly bushes. The eitzo miskayim mishana l'shana, and the branches last from year to year. So the other things like the tutim and the bontons, those would be the subject of what appears to be a machloikis. The first part of Tosis, with the near a part of Tosis where it appears that it should be a borei pri ha'eitz, but Rabbi Menachem seemed to be confident that it should be a borei pri ha'adoma. Parenthetically, but again, we in Gemara markings, we insist on all of our upon all of our listeners that we take no responsibility for halacha lemaisa. But it's interesting just to note that tutim are translated in modern Hebrew as strawberries, and as is probably well known, strawberries grow on these lowly type of lowly plants, if you will, and the issue that's addressed in this tesis may very well have an effect on the brocha that one would make on strawberries. We are not suggesting that when Tosfos uses the word tutim, that he is referring to strawberries. As we said, that's only a side point that we're making, a side comment based on the use of the word tutim in terms of modern Hebrew. The next Tosfos is found on the top of Omid Beis, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afilu Pas V'yayin, if one said a shahakol, he is yotze, v'chein halacha. And that is Tosfos Paskins, that's the way to go. We would follow that if you said on a cup of wine or a piece of bread, shakol niyabidvaro, you don't make another bracha. And why does Tosfos feel that is the way the halacha is? So Tosfos says, points out who was arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. In our Gemara, we noticed Rav Huna was arguing. He said the shakor is for everything with the exception of pas v'ayin. Rabbi Yochanan says, including pas v'ayin. And Tosfos explains now why we'll go like Rabbi Yochanan, because when you have a machlokes between the Rav Rabbi Yochanan and Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, when you have a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan. The kol shekein legabi Rav Huna, shei talmido shorav, and all the more so if Rabbi Yochanan is going up against Rav's student, we will certainly go like Rabbi Yochanan. This point, by the way, this was featured at a slightly greater length in Tosfos on Daf Lamed Tesamid Beis in the Dibur HaMaschil Mevorech. The next Tosfos, V'neimo Rav Huna k'Rav Yosi. There was a suggestion in the Gemara to say that the Machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan would parallel the Machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rav Yosi. Now, Tosfos asks, V'in Toimar. Now, this particular question lasts a number of lines in the Tosfos, and we've indicated that with a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Tosfos text. You can see the kuf that's encircled. V'im Tomar, hechi motzi sover Rav Huna ke Rav Yosi. How could there be a havamina? In other words, we know at the end of this Gemara that the parallel suggested is rejected. But the question is, how in the havamina could one have thought that Rav Huna would parallel Rav Yosi? Ho Rav Huna moide b'shar dvorim chutz mipas v'yayin she'im omar she'hakol v'yotza. Rav Huna is fairly expansive, fairly lenient with regard to the brocha flexibility, where he says if you say shakol on all other items except for bread and wine, you are yotzei. V'ilu Rav Yosi savar delo yotza. Rav Yosi, on the other hand, is very, very restrictive. He says you would not be yotzei. D'chol ha-meshalemi mapea, anyone who changes from the form that's established by the rabbis is not yotzei. So on the hava amina level, the Tosfos is expressing we are having trouble understanding how you could even think to parallel Rav Huna with Rav Yosi. Once again, Rav Huna being quite flexible with brocha variation acceptance, with the exception of wine and bread, where Rav Yosi was very, very restrictive. The Tosfos answers, again, we're explaining the Havamina, V'yesh Meforshim, the Motzi Lemeimar, the Filu Rav Yosi Lokomar Lo Yotza. Even Rav Yosi, when he was posing himself as restrictive, he said so, Elo Beboruch HaMokrim, when the text used in the bracha was something that was literally invented by the individual. She'ena brocha klal, it doesn't appear as a brocha anywhere, as a formal bracha. Avol b'shehakol moide, but with regard to shehakol and its ability to be effective, well, maybe there he would agree that he would agree to its effectiveness, like Rav Huna suggested. And hence, based on the fact that Rav Huna was speaking about someone saying Shehakol in a somewhat inappropriate fashion, Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rav Huna's approach to things. Again, this Tosis is here to explain the Havamina level of understanding. The next Tosis, Omar Abaye, Kavose de Rav Mistavra. We had a machlokis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan in terms of what is necessary for the formulation of a brocha text. Is it necessary to add, in addition to the name of the Almighty, Malchus, or is name of Almighty sufficient? Abaye said that Rav's opinion seems to be more likely because there is a brisa supporting it. In other words, Tosfos is going to say, based on the Marsha's clarification, the Tosfos is going to point out at the beginning that we're not to view Abaye's entrance to this sugya as coming to offer his, let's say, his personal opinion that I think Rav is more likely, but rather he's speaking as a moderator, almost as an outsider, saying that Rav's opinion seems to conform to what the Brisa says, but not that Abaye himself is saying, I think that Rav's opinion is the way to go. And the Marsha elaborates on why this precision in formulation is of significance. So now, turning to the Tosfos, Omar Abaye, Kavose de Rav Mistabruchle, Yesh Meforshim de Mistabro Breisa Kavose. Now this is where the Marsha comes in and says that it's not Abaye saying, I think that Rav is more Mistabra, but rather that Abaye is saying that it's Mistabr, that the Breisa is a support for Rav. That's the Mistabra Breisa Kavose. The Breisa is like Rav, in so far as the Breisa did not mention the word Malchus. And we're talking, of course, about the Breisa that dealt with the Vidui Maestris, the Pesuk was Darshan, the law of Vartim, Mitzichem, Veloshachachti. And in that Breisa, it just mentioned Veloshachachti, Milhaskir Shimcholov. And we're looking, if you're looking in the Gemara text, we're talking about the Gemara about the fifth, sixth wide line, where there's a Tanaic source which says Velo Shachachti Milahazkir Shimcha Olav. No mention of Malchus, indicating that shame alone, the name of the Almighty, is enough for constituting a bracha. Mihu Rav Alfis Posak Rav Yochanan V'chein Posak Ri D'chobrocha She'en Bo Malchus Shemayim Eino Brocha. On the other hand, you've got the Rif and the Ri that are paskining like Rabbi Yochanan that said any bracha that has no mention of Malchus in addition to the Almighty's name is not a kosher, is not a bracha. She'en l'kach hoya omer ri she'im hoya medaleg Malchus shel birkas hamoitzi. If a person skipped over the Elokeinu melech ha'olam in the bracha of hamoitzi, she'tzorch lachzor levorech. If he skipped just that word, we say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech, and then Amotzi Lechem, and he skipped the word Ha'olam, that alone would be enough reason to repeat the bracha. Why is mentioning Ha'olam so important? The Melech Levad Eino Malchus. Just saying Elokeinu Melech, you say the Almighty, the God, but if he doesn't have a realm over which to reign, so he's not a king. Therefore, Ha'olam is important. It establishes the kingship of the Almighty. Ubrachos shel Shmoyne Esrei. The Tosfos here goes on to other situations in our prayers and benedictions where you don't seem to have a clear statement of Melech Ha'olam, and yet they count as acceptable brachas, and acceptable, obviously, according to the Ri, in conformity with Rabbi Yochanan's approach that you need to have Malchus. So how can that be? How can you have brachas being acceptable even though there's no explicit mention of Melech Ha'olam in them? So he explains, "Brachas shel Shmoyne Esrei ein ban Malchus." we're talking about the main body of Shmoneh Esrei. All of the brachas, there are 18 brachas, and you don't see the word Malchus, you don't see Melech Olam in the Shmoneh Esrei. So the first point is, we're talking about the brachas outside the very first brachas, which you will deal with separately, but all the subsequent brachas is, they don't need to have Malchus, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Einon Boyin Bepsicha, they're not opening brachas. The din of Rabbi Yochanan is one only regarding an opening bracha. An opening a bracha. Many brachas open and have a long passage in the middle and then they close off. But the opening bracha is where you would need to have the reference to Melech Olam. So Tosis is saying that besides the first bracha, all the subsequent brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei, they are not coming as a psicha. Ubechasima ein shayach malchus, and regarding the closing, there's no havamina in a closing bracha to have malchus to begin with. So the nature is of the Shmoneh Esrei is they are what's called somuch lechaverta. Avol Elokei Avraham, as far as the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, where the issue of psicha, opening bracha, does play a role, and you don't see the opening of the Shmoneh Esrei with Melech Olam, you say Baruch Ato Hashem, we say Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, etc. But you don't see Melech Olam. So Tosfos points out, Avol Elokei Avraham Havi Kamoi Malchus. And how is that? Avraham Avinu Himlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol HaOlam Sheidia Malchuso. The nature, the essence of Avraham Avinu was a world representation. Namely, he coronated, so to speak, the Almighty as the Lord, as the monarch, as the ruler over the whole world. So by mentioning Elokei Avraham, Avraham is synonymous with the concept of Olam. And therefore, you don't have to say anything further. U me'ein sheva dematzli b'shabbos, and the Friday night, there is a type of Shmoneh Esrei repetition, unlike other nighttime services. There, the bracha that's recited after the Vayechulu passage is mentioned, you see a bracha there, and it says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok. So that's the Mi'ein Sheva Dematzli B'Shabbos, Choyo V'yesh Bo. In that bracha, it says, Hokel HaKadosh She'en Kamoihu. The text that we have is, Hokel HaGodol HaGibor V'no Kel Elyon Kenei Shemayim V'oretz. And then there's a passage that says, Mogein Ovois Bidvor Mechai Mesim B'Ma'amor Hoel Hokel HaKadosh She'en Kamoihu. Hainu Kamoi Malchus. What's interesting, and it just struck me now in the course of learning this together with you in Gemara markings, but that very passage in fact began with Elokei Avraham that Tosfos just before said was sufficient. It's interesting that Tosfos has to add this regarding the Me'ein Sheva of Friday night, when that very passage opened up with Elokei Avraham. It's like it seems to need extra firepower for this particular passage, and hence he's adding this point of Hokela Kodesh Shein Kamoi. He's saying Hainu Kamoi Malchus Kamoi, and we find also Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that particular pasuk Davei Bimkoi Malchus. This is a reference to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, where the middle section of Shmoneh Esrei is broken down into three sections, Machlio, Zichronos, and Shofros, and in each section the composition of the brach is made of 10 verses, 10 citations from Psukim, and in the case of Malchus, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah points out that the Chazal labored to find a 10th Malchus bracha, and the one they came up with was a pasuk that this doesn't even mention Malchus. It's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is in place to have a Bimkoi Malchus. And as we explained, that you don't need to have an absolute precise pronunciation of the word melech or malchus. As we said before, that just like Elokei Avraham fulfilled a malchus requirement, so too Shema Yisrael, even though it's not an explicit malchus term, it too can fulfill the malchus requirement. Ulu Rabbi Yochanan lo kashya delo toni malchuscha olav. As far as the Gemara is concerned, what about that brisa that seemed to support Rav? It's not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't pose a problem that the brisa didn't mention the word malchus in it. The otu keruchlo kol hai limni velezel. Does the brisa have to spell out everything that was intended to be mentioned? Ruchla is a merchant, is a person that has a lot of merchandise, who when he shows his merchandise, he opens up his, we'll say, his suitcase full of samples and shows all his samples to the public. That's a ruchla. So the Tosis is pointing out, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, it's not the job of the Brisa to spell out all of the details. Hence, it was, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, and it seems that that's what the Gemara itself said, that Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of that Brisa was when it said, "V'lo shachachti v'lahaskir shimcha u'malchus cholav." What Tosis seems to be explaining is that even in the Brisa in its original form, doesn't pose a major problem to Reb Yochanan, because it didn't have to spell out every last detail, and Reb Yochanan will stick by his opinion that a brocha is not complete unless there is mention of the shame as well as the malchus. With that, we conclude our Tosfos shiur for today.